The following program is made possible in part by the ministry partners of the Hour of Power and viewers like you.
Today, I'm going to talk about the value and importance of having concrete, long-term goals for your life and how this is a major thing that God wants for us, and also it's a major cure to the sickness that so many of us face in life today. It's the promised land. What is the promised land? Maybe you didn't grow up reading the Bible. You don't know what I'm talking about. The promised land was a special place God had for a special people, a people who had been freed from slavery, who had to walk across a desert to enter a place, as God called it, a land flowing with milk and honey. What does milk and honey mean? It means prosperity. It means luscious land, good farmland. It means animals and crops. It means everything a freed person in the Bronze Age would want. There are a million and one things today that you are facing that will get your eyes off the promised land and get them on the sand or on the desert, that will get your eyes off the horizon and pull you into the cabin of that boat and make you sick. Anyone sick of your life today? Anyone feeling sick about where you are? That's good. Say, Lord, I'm thankful I'm sick of my life. You know why? Because you have the opportunity today to make a change, to make a difference, and to set before yourself a long-term goal that will pull you through the process, that will pull you through the desert, that will get you through what you're going through. That's the amazing thing about big, beautiful, inspiring, personal goals. Those goals pull you as you're going through tough times. When those slaves were brought to the promised land, by the way, there was one caveat I forgot to mention. It was full of giants. See, God will take you to the promised land, but on your way there, you have to become a giant slayer. Oh, did I forget to mention that? See, the great thing about the big goals God has for your life is not just what you achieve, it's who you become. God is excited not just about what you're going to achieve in your life. He's excited about who you're going to have to become to achieve those goals. The promised land is set aside for giant slayers like you. You say to me, I'm not a giant slayer. I say to you, you're probably right. So then what? Become a giant slayer. Become who you need to be one day, one week, one month at a time. It's called discipleship. It means that you work into your life a pattern of disciplines and rhythms that build up in you something you thought you never could become, and you will. You will. If you want to become that kind of a person, you need to keep that kind of a goal before your eyes all the time. Don't get sick. Don't go into the cabin. Don't stare at the sand. Keep in your mind's eye the promised land that God has for you. Hannah read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm not going to read it again, but I would encourage you, if you're listening to the podcast or if you're watching on YouTube, to just pause the video and read 1 Corinthians, the whole chapter, chapter 10. But it's a really wonderful message that the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth is made up of mostly Gentiles. Corinth was a gorgeous city. It had been destroyed 100 years before Paul was writing and then rebuilt by Julius Caesar into a thriving metropolis on the sea, full of wealth and power. Most of the people that were here were not from rich families or aristocracies. They were liberated slaves. They were soldiers of fortune. They were anyone who came to this place, a free town, to build a business or build a life, a very strong merchant class. And Paul writes them and tells them about a story of his own people. He says, 1,500 years ago. Let me tell you a story about my people 1,500 years ago. He said, the Jews were freed from Egypt God freed them. And as a people, they were, this is Paul's words, not mine, they were baptized when they went through the Red Sea, when God parted the Red Sea for them. And they ate spiritual bread because of the manna from heaven, and spiritual drink because they drank water from the rock, who Paul says was Christ. So it's like they've totally had, what did this sound like? Our rites, right? The baptism, communion, they had become totally immersed into what it means to be one of God's people. And then they got lost. Guess how long it takes? This is a good question. Guess how long it takes to walk from Egypt to the Promised Land? Guess how long? The answer? 11 days. It takes 11 days to go from Egypt to the Promised Land. How long did it take them? Do you remember? 40 years. Here's something we can learn from that. Movement is not necessarily achievement. If I walk and walk and walk in circles doing the same thing over and over, I am not necessarily making progress. Do you feel that way? Maybe you do. What should have taken 11 days took 40 years. Why? Paul tells us, almost immediately at Mount Sinai, the first stop on the way to the Promised Land, Moses goes up and receives the word from God. He brings the law down to his people. The people say, that sounds like a great idea. We'll sign up and we'll do that. Moses says, great, now I'm going to go talk to God about the tabernacle. Goes back up the mountain to talk to God about the tabernacle. They can literally see God in a cloud up on top of the mountain. And they take all that gold that God gave them and fashioned it into an idol, worshipped it, and then went into mass group debauchery and revelry. Okay, so this is what Paul tells them. He says, even though they were baptized and all this stuff, this weird thing happened where first they went to idols, and then they went into revelry, and then they went into grumbling, and then Paul says, and now their bodies are scattered all over the desert. That's some Old Testament stuff, isn't it? That's some Bronze Age tough Bible stuff. And Paul says, this is written as a warning. Why? Because even, he's saying, even though this happened 1,500 years ago, it's still happening today. And maybe I could say, even though Paul was writing 2,000 years ago, it's what? Still happening today. Very few things change. And most of all, man's nature rarely changes unless man chooses to change it. It's written as a warning to us. Long-term goals are easily lost by today's temptations. Maybe we could say Paul was telling us today, this is Paul's guide to destroying your life in three easy steps. You want to destroy your life? Here's a great guide. I'll show you right now. Number one, idols. What does that mean for us today? Idols is basically saying materialism, not like shopping, but I mean the classical sense of materialism, that the only thing that exists or matters or worth paying attention to is what I can see or what I feel. Think about the importance so many people put on how I feel right now. And how I feel right now affects what I eat, how I treat people. How I feel right now, does that have an impact on your goals, you think? Absolutely. How many businesses, marriages have been destroyed because somebody felt something? How many lives, how many horrible words were spoken because I felt something in that moment? The idea of idolatry, no, there's not a lot of idols in the classical sense anymore, but there is idolatry. That is bowing down to a God I can see, bowing down to a God I can touch. And Paul says, that's the first thing. So if you want to destroy your life, just focus on your just today. Don't think about just today, what you can focus on. Bow down to a God you can see, touch, taste, and hear. And he said, number two, that leads to the flesh, right? That we give into the flesh. The flesh means a pattern of giving in and giving up. Giving in and giving up. I just give in to that bag of potato chips. I just give in to watching TV all day long. I just give in to buying that thing I can't afford. And I'm just going to keep giving in. And yeah, I might have long-term goals, but I'm just going to give up on that. Helping my kids with my homework is too much today. Going on a walk with my wife is too much today. Reaching out to people who are hurting, that's just too much. I can't do that today. And so that's the next thing, is you just day by day, you give in and give up a little bit every single day. And then what happens? You're wandering in the wilderness. You're the same place 5 years later you were 5 years before. You're sitting there in the wilderness saying, where does the time go? Where does the money go? Where do the days and the weeks go? Don't feel bad. We all feel this way sometimes. I'm saying something that all human beings feel, but you feel that way long enough, you get to stage three. This is the final stage, and that is grumbling. Grumbling is, it wasn't my fault, it's everyone else's fault, right? That's another word for it in the Bible is stiff-necked or hard-hearted. It's a shrunken life of your own making that you blame others for. It's not my fault. It's the government's fault. It's not my fault. It's my boss's fault. It's not my fault. It's inflation's fault. It's not my fault. It's some other country's fault. My brother's fault. My parents' fault. My children's fault. Their friends' fault. The stupid educational system's fault. We create the blame list because where we find ourselves is embarrassing. And so that grumbling then leads us to the final thing where everything is just unfair. That's a grumbling person's favorite word. It's not fair. And Paul promises us, you too can be one of those bodies scattered in the wilderness. All you got to do is these things. So you work your way backwards. You find yourself as a grumbling person. Maybe you've been giving in and giving up. And you go back a little further, maybe you've been focusing on today rather than the future. You've been focusing on only what you can see around you rather than your long-term goals. But I want to tell you something. God's plan for those slave people was to convert them from slaves to conquerors. From slaves to conquerors. He wanted to make giant killers to possess the land. And in God's view, it is never too late for you to become a conqueror. It's never too late for you to become a conqueror. Abraham was 75 years old when he received the promise, and he was 100 years old when he sired that promise. I don't know about you, but I'd love to get a bottle of those vitamins. I'd love to find out what exercise routine he was on. I want to be healthy like that. Moses was 80 years old when he saw the burning bush. 80 years old. How old was he? 120 when he looked across the Jordan at Canaan's side. 120. I ask you, my friends, a good question. Is it ever too late for God to turn someone into a conqueror? The answer is no. Can an old dog learn new tricks? The answer is if he wants to. If he wakes up and chooses to. It's a decision you make every day when you wake up, whether this day will be yours or whether it will be forfeit. And the thing that pulls you to every day, wake up and say, this day will be good, it will be mine, and I will become better. The thing that brings you there is a clear vision of the promised land, is to have tattooed on your heart a vision of who God wants you to become and where God wants you to go. I can't tell you what that is. All I can tell you is it's there for you to discover and there for you to possess. Will you do it? Will you do it? It is so important to define clearly the promises God has for you. I cannot express enough as a friend of yours how important it is to take an abstract idea that I'm giving you, like the promised land, and convert it into a concrete, measurable, date-marked, specific thing that you achieve. But most people, to be honest with you, when I talk about writing down goals or making goals for your life, most people are allergic to goals. Some of you, you're feeling it right now. If I say, write down your goals every day, the feeling you have is like an allergy. It's like I just blew pepper up your nose. You're like, oh, that does not sound fun at all. It was my 30th birthday, I remember. We were out to dinner with some really good friends of ours. There were about, I think, 8 to 10 of us, and it was my 30th birthday. And things were not going well, really, in my life. We had started this church. We had about 300 people at one point. But then the church, because of things I had done, was in decline. We were down to 50 to 80 people. I had just had my first daughter, who was a baby, and my wife was pregnant with my second child, a son, on the way, Cohen. And I had, guess how much money was in my bank account? Zero. And guess what my goals were? Zero. Isn't it amazing how your goals and your bank account are so often aligned? And a great friend of ours, Hillary, the famous Hillary of the famous Chad and Hillary, sweetly asked me at this 30-year birthday, which is a big birthday for a young man, hey, Bobby, what are your goals for the coming year? What a great question that is. I love to ask that question. What are your goals for your coming year? And you know what I said to her? I said, and this has become a joke since then, I said, I don't have any goals. If I want to do something, I just do it. Isn't that gross? Here's the truth. I didn't have any goals. I didn't have any goals. Here's the truth. I didn't have any goals because I didn't make any goals. Here's the truth. Every single day, I made a choice not to make a goal. Every single day, I made a choice to let my life diminish in ways I didn't want it to. And then I grabbed a powerful idea. What if I write down my 5-year goals every day? This sounds like legalism to some people. This sounds like horrible. But like if I tell you writing down your goals every day, most of you go, oh, God, that sounds like I might as well count my calories. That's like the worst thing I've ever heard of. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you about the best part of almost every day I have is when I wake up in the morning and I write down my long-term and short-term goals. And I open up my Bible and I read it. And I pray for my friends and family. And I drink God's favorite beverage, coffee. That is one of the best parts of my day. Most people don't like to get up early in the morning. Almost every day I get up before my alarm clock. You know why? Because I've got some amazing goals on that piece of paper. It wasn't easy at first, but now that I am seeing that I am becoming the person in those goals, I get excited when I wake up in the morning. It's like Christmas every day because I get excited about what I'm going to achieve. I get excited about where this church is going. And most of all, I get excited that I'm becoming the kind of man I need to be. The kind of father, the kind of friend, the kind of spouse, the kind of pastor, the kind of giant slayer that possesses the land. I wasn't that so many years before. But look at my life. And see, that's the other thing. I'm so grateful that I'm here now because of ideas like this. And ideas like this aren't just good for me. Anybody here been blessed by Hour of Power? Anybody here been blessed by Shepherd's Grove? Then you've been blessed by the idea that having a long-term goal for your life is not just good for you, it's good for others. Don't just become good for you, become good for me. The people in your life need you to become the best version of you. And the best version of you is the one that looks like Christ, full of courage, full of boldness, full of life, full of power, because you know where you're going. I don't just mean heaven, and it is that, but I mean where you're going in this life, where you want to be in 5 years. You got to know that. There's an incredible power there. I'll just finish with this last word. When I was in like 4th or 5th grade, I discovered the power of zero. Zero is a powerful number. You ever try and multiply something times zero? Take the biggest number you can think of. Now multiply it times zero. I'm a genius. I can tell you the answer. You know what it is? It's zero. I remember when I was starting to learn how to get a good grade on a report card, and I'd turn in four assignments. The first assignment was a 91%. That's an A. The second one was a 90%. That's a A. The third one was a 92 or a 93%. That's an A. And the fourth one, I just kind of forgot to turn in. I just didn't turn anything in. That's a zero. And that, what does that make my total grade for my class? The answer is a D. You get A, 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 and one zero turns it all, the whole kit and caboodle, into a D. And many of us in life, we have a lot of zero days. And we have zero days. Those zero days turn into 0 weeks. Those 0 weeks turn into 0 months. And those 0 months turn into 0 years. And we wonder where the years go. That's the power of zero. But we're a positive group, aren't we? Let's turn it around. Let's imagine that the other way. What if, can you imagine creating for yourself a good day? What if you started your day with your long-term goals in mind and your short-term goals of how you're going to get there? And you started it with a cup of coffee or with a prayer or with the Bible. And by the end of that day, you went, wow, that was a good day. Now do that 7 times in a row. If you do that 7 times in a row, you look back and you go, hey, that was a good week. Hey, if you can do that 4 times in a row, you'll look back and go, holy mackerel is the word I was looking for. That was a good month. And if you do that 12 times in a row, you go, that was the best year of my life, full of personal development, new relationships, closeness to God, achieved goals, achieved dreams, a healthier lifestyle, because you're designing your life. It's yours to design. No one's stopping you. Make every day matter by beginning with God. And can I just finish with this last thing? Here's the best thing about this. God, when we cross the finish line of life, of our big goals, of the things that God has put before us, when we cross that finish line, we have to become a kind of person to do that. And although we cross that finish line, which is amazing, you know what we carry with us is the person we had to become to do it. And that is something you keep the rest of your life. The rest of your life. It's your choice. You can do it. I am so proud of you. You're doing better than you think. But some of you are going to forget everything I said. But there's a few of you, and this is who I really care about, and I want to pray for you, that today you say, I will never be the same again. I am going to decide today what my life will be like in 5 years, and I will do whatever it takes to become that kind of a person and get there. If you do that, your life will never be the same again. Keep your eyes in the promised land. Keep them on the horizon and watch what God can do with a lot of good days in a row. We thank you, Lord. Your presence is here. You're in this house. You're with us. And we ask by your Holy Spirit that you would give us a fresh vision for our lives of where we could go, of who we could become, of the kind of people we could surround ourselves with, the kind of things that we could achieve. Lord, you said greater things than these will you do. We want to believe that can be true in our lives. Make us miracle-working people, people full of faith and life. And we ask that you would help us now. How we love you and how all we do to honor the name of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Anna and I are so happy you've joined us in worship today. And we'd like to say thank you for all the ways you continue to support Our Power's worldwide mission. As we gather with friends and family this Thanksgiving to remember and express the gift of gratitude, let's choose to embrace God's goodness regardless of what prior months have held.
At Our Power, we are so very thankful for your partnership with us as we move with the times and take the good news of the gospel to even more friends around the globe. In the season, we're expanding our outreach in powerful ways and utilizing the wonders of technology to bring both younger and older generations together to worship Jesus.
Friends, we are grateful for you because you are solid in His strength. You are building His kingdom through generosity, and your faithful support is upholding so many people. The outreach of Hour of Power is only possible because of friends like you. You are helping us guide millions of people to Jesus and to stand strong in His faith.
As we think about the year ahead, let us be reminded that with it comes all the hopes, dreams, and goals and resolutions that a new year brings. Every new beginning holds unlimited potential and a host of God-sized possibilities. Recognizing that every day is a gift from God, we have some very special offers that will encourage you to give thanks all year long.
In honor of the miracle of birth and new beginnings, we are excited to unveil our brand new 2023 Hour of Power wall calendar. This 13-month pictorial calendar for your wall or desk will celebrate every day and month as a gift from God with its comforting and enriching scripture. We're asking for your gift of $20 or more. In addition to the calendar, we're thrilled to offer the 2023 Give Thanks Executive Planner for your gift of $65 or more. Created for those who love to plan, this floral and teal faux leather planner was designed for the organizer at heart and has everything you'd expect from an executive planner. Call, write, or go online and request the 2023 New Beginnings Wall Calendar for your generous gift of $20 or for your gift of $65 or more. We'll also include the 2023 Give Thanks Executive Planner.
In this Thanksgiving season, Hannah and I are lifting our hearts in gratitude for you and the priceless gift of your support and prayers. We're asking the Lord to lead you into His best and give you courage to shed what's no longer fruitful so you can embrace His perfect and powerful plan for your future. Remember always, God loves you and so do we.
The preceding program was made possible in part by the ministry partners of the Hour of Power and viewers like you, and is accredited by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability.